Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. I am your host, Martin, and tonight we are joined by Sydney.
Hello.
And tonight we are going to talk about the Mavericks' loss. Really, we're going to analyze the game for about 2 seconds and then get into all the frustrations with everything that's surrounding the game. One thing I want everybody to know, we are not credentialed. So that means you are going to get authentic, unfiltered.
We just speak in our minds, bro. Yes.
So we're not going to have Cuban come on our show and do his campaign trail.
One thing, I'll let you finish.
Yes, one of these times I'll get to finish a statement. Anyways, Cuban's not coming on our show. He's not doing his campaign trail on how they've had failures in free agency because they haven't had money.
They never had cap space.
Yes, anyways, it's all a big joke. You're not going to get that from us. Please, Sydney, you were in the middle of interrupting me.
Speaking of just the whole fan thing, a lot of times whenever teams have where they're struggling or they lose a game or whatever, this idea always comes up how fans have this "what have you done for me lately" attitude, and it gets trashed a lot. Those people need to understand that we pay per month to watch these games, and teams charge for tickets per game to attend them. So like the "what have you done for me lately" thing goes both ways. You know, I pay for this product. I'm not going to apologize for demanding a good product, you know, and this is an example. I obviously were just like everyone else. I don't understand why they sat Luka and Kristaps.
Nobody understands it because there's no reason.
The Mavericks understand
it. No, they don't. Okay. They just had this idea. Look, there is nothing you can say to justify this. There is nothing. You can make up this whole crap about them. Injury management. They're fine. They just had a week off. They're 22 years old and 25 years old. They're fine.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand is like they did just have the All-Star break and they were off for, I don't know if it was a week or whatever it was, but they were off for several days. Kristaps especially. And then Luka, yeah, he was in the All-Star game, but, you know, we all know he didn't try, so he wasn't really doing anything.
And if he was so injured, why would he be in the All-Star game?
Yeah, well, and he's not, because Carlisle said that this was planned even before the All-Star break. In fact, he said that this is going to happen a lot more often in the second half than it did in the first half. And the reason for that, my assumption, is that there are more back-to-backs for the Mavs. There's 10 in the second half compared to 6 in the first half. So, yeah, we will see it a lot more because they have more back-to-backs.
Why? Why can players not play? If a role player can play on a second night of a back-to-back, why can't the stars?
Yeah, I don't, like, okay, Kristaps, he had the knee surgery.
I understand, like, the Kristaps.
All right.
The Luka thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, for Kristaps, he did still just have a week off, but whatever, there's medical things there going on that maybe I don't understand any part of the knee anatomy. I get that. I still disagree with it, but I understand there's things I don't know. With Luka, however, again, we know that he's not injured. And so that part I don't understand. I'm really baffled and confused.
Look, all this does
confusion.
You're confusion. All this does is just remind me the Mavericks do not have winning as their number one priority. Winning is not their number one priority. How often do the Mavericks as an organization talk about culture?
Yeah.
Culture is so important to
continuity.
Them. Continuity. Player health management and longevity. We hear that from them all the time. When was the last time you heard them talk about winning?
Yeah.
Never talk about winning is not their priority. Their priority is extending players' careers.
Which is great.
Okay.
But, okay, sorry.
Yes, I'm in the middle of a point.
I'm going to let you finish.
Please. Their priority is extending players' careers. It is having a good locker room, and it is preserving cap space.
Yeah,
it is not winning.
I was going to say that.
What is the point of preserving a player's career if he doesn't win anything? So you're telling me you can get Luka, instead of just playing 17 years, he can play 19 years. Ooh, I think he would rather play 17 years and win 3 championships than play 19 years and miss half the games because he's being rested and they not win anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not saying we got to go all the way to the other end of the spectrum. And I know you're not saying this either, where they play 82 games and 40 minutes a game. I'm not, we don't have to go all the way to that end. I just feel like they've gotten to a point where, yeah, where they err so much on one side that to me it seems a little unbalanced. Like, players don't play as many games as they used to and as many minutes as they used to. And I think it's great because players are having longer careers, but I feel like sometimes
are they?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess
I'd like to see the data on
that. That is a very good question.
I mean, because one guy tweeted, Dirk led the league in minutes when he was 22 years old. True. He played 21 seasons.
Yeah, so that's a good question. But at least I know the purpose is, it's a valiant purpose to have them play for more seasons. I think that's great. I think that sometimes we go too far on this other side where we have a 22-year-old guy who just got a week off, can't play a back-to-back. I don't understand.
And the other side of it where they've gone too far is where winning is no longer the priority.
Yeah.
Like, the priority used to be winning every game of the season. And especially the way this season has gone for this team, you cannot sacrifice losses. And you just sacrificed a loss to the Thunder that you probably, if you had played Luka and Porzingis, could have put them to bed pretty early if you really tried hard.
Yeah.
And you would only have to play them 25 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they got down so far with their record, and then they had a really good stretch. The schedule was friendly to them, and they took advantage of it. And they fought back to being 19-16. And so it's just, it's deflating as a fan for them to just throw away a game whenever we, you know, they fought so hard to get here. And they have this tough stretch coming up against the Nuggets, two against the Clippers, two against the Blazers. It's just, it's tough. It's tough to wrap your mind around as a fan.
There is no justification. I know people will say, look, they know more about basketball than we do. They got a lot of smart guys. We're not in whatever. It's just basketball. Okay, we're not talking about a triple bypass heart surgery. This is basketball. It's not that complicated. Yes, there are some things that they have access to that we as fans do not. Mm-hmm. But if you've watched basketball for 20 years, then you know basketball.
You have enough of an idea to make an educated observation of a situation.
So in this, there is absolutely zero justification for this. And I think what has happened is Carlisle in the past has had success resting players and winning games. And I think he just got cocky and thought he can steal a game against the Thunder and rest his two best players.
I mean, it's like, you know, going back to like how hard is it to understand the situation? Like I said, with Kristaps' medical thing, whatever, I can understand the doctors knowing something. But we know for a fact that Luka is not injured in any way. And so that's the part that I don't understand is, why can he not play? He's young. They have a great training staff. They take care of him. I don't get why he can't. Why? And it's not like it's just this one back to back. It's like every single back to back these guys don't play. And I'm just like, but why? I don't understand why they just all of a sudden by default back to backs, they just do not play. I never felt
like players in the NBA's careers were short. I never felt like they were short. And they used to play 40 minutes a night. LeBron, he came from the era of Dirk. True. Where he was leading the league in minutes and played every single game. Now, later in his career, he didn't.
He's rested, yeah.
But he went through 10 seasons of that, and he is now, you know, 45 years old and still playing. So where is the data that shows that resting players this much is actually benefiting to extending their careers? We don't know because they just started doing that. So we don't know if it's actually going to extend their careers. We just assume that Luka will get to play 20 seasons. But if I'm Luka, I would rather play 16 seasons and win than play 20 and be mediocre. Like, we extended Dirk's career, but they didn't win. They didn't win the second half of his career. So yeah, it's great he got to play 10 seasons after his championship, but he was irrelevant. I think he would rather have competed for a couple more years, even if it wore his body a little bit more and he had to retire after 18 seasons. He would rather have done that than play 21 and suck.
Well, and also, you know, this, which we don't have to get into free agency and stuff because it's like a broken record, but it's kind of the same principle that I bring up a lot with my frustrations in that area, is that it seems often that the decisions that they make in the players they acquire is just about money and cap space, and the priority is not necessarily putting the best product on the court. And so it's that same principle of where, you know, I feel like they sacrifice wins for other things that are also important. I mean, there is a cap. I get that. And players' health is important. But I feel like there's a way to balance that and still create a good product that I'm paying for and, you know, take care of players with their health. There's got to be a middle ground here to where we don't do things like this.
And resting a 22-year-old on the second night of a back-to-back after he was off for a week is not the way to do it. It's not balanced. There is nothing. I know Carlisle is a genius and Cube, whatever, but they're just humans. It's not like these guys are superhuman. You know, they just happen to be a coach of a basketball team.
Luka is superhuman.
Okay, my point is these guys are not some out-of-world geniuses, otherworldly geniuses. They're human beings like us, and they make bad decisions.
They made a judgment
just like
call.
Us, and they made and the wrong judgment call.
I disagree
call.
With the judgment call.
It was wrong.
Yeah, I disagree with it.
Okay, you and your passive aggressiveness.
yeah, so good game.
Look, I don't know. Like it was
there's
just...
no point in breaking down the game. The only thing you could break down is, what did this show about the rest of the roster outside of Luka and Kristaps? And then it's not very good.
And
but we already
knew
that.
Yeah, so. It's like it doesn't show us anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, without Kristaps and Luka, you wouldn't expect to win this kind of game, even if they were a championship team. But there's a pretty good chance that you would still, because you would still have a good team. Whereas with this team, it's like if you sit Luka and Kristaps, it's like we're gonna lose, like
well,
no question.
I think
who's
it
gonna
also,
score?
Like Carlisle had to come out. Well, this was no disrespect to the Thunder. Yeah, it was. It was complete disrespect, and I think the Thunder felt that.
Maybe
Horford came out and he played like a former All Star that he was because he's a veteran, and he was insulted by what the Mavericks did. And I think winning this game means a lot to the Thunder, whereas to the Mavericks, as we've seen, winning is not their priority. So obviously they lost.
Yeah.
What else is there to discuss? It's just, it's a rage.
It's disappointing. It's frustrating. It's confusing. I really want the Mavericks to be good. And they fought back after digging such a big hole. And they came back with a good record. And again, it's like, you know, you're putting all of this into context. It's not just this one game. It's like now they have all these games coming up that are going to be difficult. And you know what? They might go 3-2, whatever. It's more likely they go 2-3. They could even go 1-4. I mean, it's just
more reason why you should have tried. Try to win the game that you play next. Don't think about what your schedule's coming up. Your focus should be winning the next game.
Yeah.
And when you don't do that, then you end up losing that game and losing the next one after that because you're not focused.
Just try to win the games that you can win.
Just if you have a game that day, play to win it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Do you want to talk about Mark Cuban's free agency comments?
No. Look, in my opinion, this is the conversation. Cuban's agent calls Cowherd
or
ESPN
and
says,
hey, on ESPN.
You'll get a nice celebrity in Mark Cuban to come on your show and draw attention. But you got to sell the city of Dallas and talk about how awesome it would be for free agents to come there. And obviously, Cowherd would love to have a big name guest on his show. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll talk about how great Dallas is. It's not even that good of a
give
city.
Give him a chance to explain.
Yeah, and then Cuban will go on there and say his
PR
stuff. PR job. And look,
I mean, okay, like it's a conspiracy theory, obviously. It's a big coincidence that, like, literally when he's on Cowherd and then today when he was on ESPN, it was like the conversation went exactly the same way. The interviewer started off with, you know, you try to go after free agents and they should sign there because Dallas is awesome because you've got whatever it is that, you know, makes Dallas awesome. And they say almost exactly the same things. And then why can't, you know, should fans be worried? Why can't they sign? And then he says exactly the same thing. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of a PR thing. And that is we haven't even started on what he actually said. But
yeah, because that's my conspiracy theory. Yeah. Well, whenever you're listening to the radio and sometimes they get a really big name guest on there,
mm-hmm.
what ends up always happening? Well, the radio station has to at least start off by talking about their book or their charity or their podcast or whatever. Yeah. They have to mention that first because that was part of the agreement of him coming on. And to me, that's exactly because Kellerman and Cowherd said verbatim, essentially, the exact same thing about the wonderful city of Dallas, all the things you can do.
No state tax, Dallas, you know, that's shopping.
There's no mountains here. No. There's no beach.
The only thing there is to do here is shop and eat, and you can't even do that right now.
Yes. So you know, look, and then the talk about all those years they were winning 50 games, they didn't have Kaz. Nobody's talking about that.
Yeah.
We're talking about post-2011.
The past 10 years. The past decade.
Yeah, when you didn't have a team. Yeah. And so you had cap space several times.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it was like I tweeted that, you know, how he was saying we never had cap space before 2011. It's like, yeah, we're not talking about that.
Nobody cares about like, that. You've won.
That would be like me saying I haven't worked out in the past year because I never had time before COVID shut everything down. It's like, well, but what about the past year? You know, it's like, so that's the period of time we're talking about. Post 2011, where we know they had cap space because they proudly explained what their free agency plan was, the guys that they were going after, mm-hmm. their meetings with those guys were very public. And so we know they had cap space because those numbers are public. We know the guys you went after because that was public. So it's like that's what bothers me. That's why it annoys me, because it's like, you're talking to us like we're idiots.
Yes.
Like, we've seen all of this happen. We know what happened. Like, don't talk to me like I'm stupid. Like, I just forgot about all this stuff that just happened.
They think they understand more than the average human being. So, another thing, like, he starts off his comment with, well, all those years we were winning 50-plus games, we never had cap space. Yeah. Oh, really? So you're telling me you have to use your cap space to win games? Why aren't we doing that? Why do we continue to not sign people? We just sign one-year deals. Yeah. That's all we do. You gotta spend the money if you want to win.
Yeah.
You know, so you just shot yourself in the foot there.
Yeah, but anyways, that's what annoys me about those interviews. It's just that, to me, it like insults my intelligence mm-hmm. because I feel like it's not true. And
we
everybody
it
knows
happen.
It's not true. Yeah, I mean, you could say anything else. I mean, like whatever explanation, or if you actually want to give an explanation. I mean, you could say anything else, but just to say something that we all know isn't true, it's just, you know, it like bothers me. It's like, come on, man. I'm
not
stupid.
Well, it's the whole injuries that Doncic and, you know, well, Luka's going to sit out because he's injured. What?
But
he just
not.
Played in the all.
We know
he's not injured.
So anyway, it's frustrating. And like that's what I talked about in our last pod was like, you know, in the moment, it's fun to ride the wave of like, you know, they had the comeback and they won the games. And you know, like sometimes you lose them, but then they have these big games. But when I think big picture of like the way that they want to build a team and I know their whole strategy, that's when it gets frustrating because mm-hmm. it just feels hopeless.
I used to be a diehard supporter of Mark Cuban.
Man, like after 2011,
I defended him.
Yeah, we did.
And now
for
years. If you and he took over the Mavs back, I think 99-2000, something like that. And it was a breath of fresh air. But if you look since the initial purchase of the Mavs, his decisions, they start to pile up of bad decisions. Initially beginning with not re-signing Steve Nash because you didn't want to add that 1 year that Phoenix was willing to add. And you were willing to let him walk because you were afraid to pay a 36-year-old $15 million a year. And Nash ended up playing three seasons after that at a high level.
Yeah.
So it was a dumb decision. And yes, he's come out and said it was a dumb decision. Trading Nick Van Exel, I thought was just stupid. Like, I just thought that was dumb to trade Nick Van Exel away after what he had done for the Mavericks. Yeah. Not re-signing Tyson Chandler.
Or anyone from the
team. Or J.J. Barea. Yeah. Specifically those two because yeah. I think they were young and they were key cogs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Tyson was 30 years old. It's not like we're talking about a 40-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, he won Defensive Player of the Year next year.
And not only that, Dirk was still good
yeah.
for the next 5 years after that championship. In fact, they were so good that they even brought Tyson back because they're like, hey, yeah. Dirk. So maybe if you had kept him
yeah.
and you didn't waste Dirk's last 5 good years on not signing anybody, and then you don't treat Monte right.
Yeah, okay. He said, we didn't have cap space, and then when we did have cap space, we weren't very good. That's why no one would sign here. And it's like, well, you weren't very good because you got rid of all of your good yes. players.
Yeah, I remember Darren Williams at the time when he didn't sign with Dallas, and I know he's kind of talked about some of the reasons why, but he also mentioned at the time it happened that, yeah, you got me and Dirk, but who else?
Yeah, nobody else.
If you had Tyson,
gotten rid of everyone.
If you had Tyson, maybe it would have been more appealing to him.
Yeah.
And then you would have had Darren Williams. Now, look, Darren was never as good as he was in his Utah days, but that's not the point.
Yeah, you can judge the decision based on what you knew at the time.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he didn't treat Monte right. They let Monte walk for nothing. Even though yeah. Monte was good, he was good in the system.
Yeah.
And you traded for Rajon Rondo, even though Donnie was like, don't do yeah. this. We cannot do this. You did it anyways because you know basketball. And, it just piles up. I mean, what's next? You know, so he hasn't really made great decisions. He didn't draft Giannis because he wanted to save $400,000, even though his general manager, the guy that he pays to make these decisions, was like, we need to draft Giannis. We have to.
Yeah.
No, I want 400 grand.
Yeah. So anyways, it's frustrating. I wish we had like a happy ending for the episode.
And I'm allowed to feel this way for all of those toxic positivity fans. I can feel the way I want to feel.
Is there such a thing as toxic positivity?
Yes. It's like all things are rainbows and it's like, it's not.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's okay to acknowledge a frustrating situation.
Doesn't mean I'm not a fan.
And still, you know, you can, you know, try to be optimistic about the future. But, you know, frustrating situations come up and this is one of them. So we're talking about it. I was about to, this is your pod. You're the host here. I was about to take over.
I don't
even
want to end it. It's over. Good night. We will see you guys after the Mavericks play the Denver Nuggets.
Prediction. What's your prediction for these next 5 games?
Well, they play the Nuggets well, so I mm-hmm. think they have a chance at beating Denver, but Denver's been playing better.
Yeah. They play the Blazers well, too.
The Blazers, they play well, and the Clippers, after the playoffs, I think that they might play them well, too. The Mavs can either go 4-1, 1-4, 2-3. I mean, like, it's just you just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is, if they don't end up playing well, and they go 1-4, they are back under 500 now the playoffs. Yeah. What was the point of resting the players?
I think, so my prediction is 2-3. I wouldn't be surprised if they went 3-2, but I think it's probably 2-3. Just because I think they've gotten better. They definitely turned the page, but you know, during a lot of that run, they were playing really easy opponents. So I'm not quite sure where they are, like, you know, what level they're at right now. So this would be a good test to kind of see where they're actually at.
I thought the Spurs game was nice yeah, because the Spurs did have a better yeah. record than the Mavericks. They had played better than the Mavericks the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mavericks kind of played like the better team to close the game out. So I think the Mavericks are an okay team. I think they're a bottom half of the playoffs like they were last year.
Yeah.
And they can sneak out some of these wins.
Yeah.
But 2-3 probably is pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all, guys. Other than I don't have anything. That's all. Good night.
That's pretty much it.
Yes.
Thanks, guys, for listening. Bye. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye.